are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. We're shaking things up today. We've got some afternoon college basketball. Got a couple of interesting NBA games on tap this evening. P. Annapolis will join us. RDS Television, lifelong hooper, man. This guy's been a recruiter and a former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen. Now a television analyst that still coaches kids, but on top of both the professional and the collegiate game. So we'll break it down with Pete Annapolis. People are panicking right now in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and rightfully so, as Eric Bachman lives in the shadows of Lambeau. I wonder if he lives in one of those houses that we see in those commercials right now. That's actually pretty cool. You know, you got an NFL stadium, you got people living in the shadows of it. So we'll break that down. Eric Bachman, he lives like 10 minutes from the stadium. Eric Bachman, FFPC Fantasies. Eric Bachman joins us. Dave Malinsky joins us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Always a pleasure breaking it down with the professor. We're going to run the gauntlet with Dave. We've got Thanksgiving Thursday NFL rapidly approaching. And I got to tell you, man, we got some sweet-ass games on the board on Thursday. The NFL has generally sucked this year, or at least the primetime games have. But, you know, the playoff chase is really, really interesting, both in the AFC. The NFC's a lot of good football teams in the NFC suddenly right now, including the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Pokes are laying 7 points in that game. So we got a lot of stuff to break down here tonight. Everything except hockey. We got no hockey tonight. I apologize. No puck picks tonight. I don't want to force anything. And I got 10 picks on the college grid tonight. We got a couple of games in the MAC. We got 3 games, I believe, in the MAC tonight. Little MACtion for you. So we got a ton of picks. And you know what? I think we might have turned a corner last night, people. I think we might have turned a corner last night. I don't know how the Raiders ended up covering, but they did. The Houston Texans are like the worst 6-3 team in the history of the NFL. I guess now they're 6-4. Brock Osweiler actually didn't suck. And truth be told, the National Football League's referees cost another team a game. But you can't really fully blame the referees because Bill O'Brien's a moron, all right? You know, the guy's an idiot. You're punting? You're going to punt with 3 minutes to go? You know, you're paying Brock Osweiler $18 million a year, man. You got DeAndre Hopkins. You got Lamar Miller. You got Will Fuller. You got Braxton Miller. You know, I like my chances of picking up 5 freaking yards more so than getting a 3-and-out. 2 plays later, the Raiders are right back where O'Brien punted from. But, hey, it is what it is. But we got some good picks for you tonight, I believe. So let's start off the program by talking about the National Football League and their ratings problems. Now, we focused a lot on the ratings issues this year, and the ratings are actually getting a little bit better right now. It was an unprecedented election, let's be real. And, you know, people are still obsessed with Donald Trump and, to a lesser extent, Hillary Clinton right now. So the election definitely did have an impact on some of the primetime ratings earlier in the season. And without a doubt, all the crappy primetime games that were on with bad football teams, hey, it is what it is, and there's always going to be a couple of bad games. So, you know, the sky isn't falling on the National Football League because of the ratings. But the National Football League does have an entertainment problem in which the games are kind of long. Their games are kind of boring. So I've got 5 ideas that will improve the National Football League viewing experience because they're starting to panic right now at the head office. You know, they're meeting with the sponsors. They're meeting with the Players Association. They're kicking around all kinds of rules changes to try to influx some entertainment to the National Football League. And I don't think you need to get crazy with the rule changes, but let's start off with number 1. The first thing the National Football League needs to do right now, you need to stop with the so many freaking commercials. As somebody that's been in television for a long time, I get it, man. Ad revenue keeps everything going, and these sponsors are paying huge money to be involved in National Football League telecasts. But they're paying huge money and nobody's watching anymore because there are too many damn commercials. You can't have the old touchdown and then go to a commercial, come back and then have the kickoff, go to a commercial. And now they do it after punts at times. Anytime there's an injury on the field, it's just, you know, it's a chance to, oh, let's go to a break. You know, God forbid you stick around and actually talk about the game, set the flow of the game, tell the story of the game. There is no story anymore of the game. You know, there's a bunch of little, you know, stunted plays. You know, National Football League games take on average of 3 hours and 12 minutes. You know how much action there is in the 3 hours and 12 minutes? Take a guess. 11 minutes. 11 freaking minutes, all right? There are 11 minutes of action, yet you know how many commercials there are in an average NFL game? 100. 100. They go to commercial break on average of 20 freaking times in a National Football League game. It's got to stop. I don't care, man. Play the ads, for a couple of minutes in a row. Figure it out, because you're losing viewers. Every time you punt the ball or it's a change of possession, you go to a break. You have these big replay plays where it's in doubt and you can, we'll tell you what happens when we come back. It's garbage and it's annoying viewers. It's a big problem. Now, as I mentioned, there's only 11 minutes of action in a 3 hour and 12 minute football game, all right? 11 freaking minutes. It's ridiculous. You know, in an average game, there's actually 75 minutes of replays and shots of the players on the sideline. 75 minutes. We're basically watching a bunch of fat dudes stand around for 3.5 hours. All right? So what we need to do, shorten the damn play clock. It's too long, man. Professional quarterbacks, besides Brock Osweiler and Ryan Fitzpatrick, they don't need 40 freaking seconds, man. The play clock in the Canadian Football League is 20 seconds. These son of a bitches only have three downs, and they only have 20 seconds to get the playoff. 40 seconds. It's freaking ridiculous. Yeah, I know it's 25 when the ball is in play. Whip-dee-doo. Make it 25 all the time then. I get it. You're not going to go so drastic from 40 to 20, obviously. But look at college basketball, man. The shot clock in college basketball used to be 45 seconds. All right? That's how Valvano and these guys won in the old days. They used to stand around, dribble the ball for a minute, as long as they possibly could. And then they realized, you know what? This is boring as hell. We got to do something. Since then, in 1986, when it was 45 seconds, they altered it to 40, then to 35. And, you know, they altered it once again last year. Now, they should just make it 24 seconds like the NBA. You know, the NBA doesn't have a problem with an entertainment value, and NBA games aren't taking 3 hours and 12 minutes to freaking play. Figure it out. Here's the third thing you got to do. The Thursday games suck, all right? You got to give the teams a bye the week before these Thursday games. It's a prolonged bye, man. You get two byes a season if you want. The fact of the matter is, if you guys actually care about player safety, then you wouldn't be making them play two games in a span of 4 days, all right? You just wouldn't. And, you know, so whoop-de-doo to get one bye. Giving a team one bye during an NFL season with the violence factor, the way that it is in professional football right now, is like telling a homeless starving dude, listen, we're going to let you go into the Chinese buffet once, all right? Once. In the next 17 weeks, we'll let you eat once. Just give the guy a couple of freaking sandwiches to spread out instead of letting go. You get a bye just once in the middle of the season. It does nothing. Sometimes teams get by, they don't even want the damn bye. You think the Minnesota Vikings wanted the bye? They were 5-0. You know, they went on a bye and they lost four straight coming out of it. Some teams get the bye so early in the season, they don't even want it. All right? So it's ridiculous. The Thursday games suck. Throw out this division stuff. Throw out making teams play on Sunday and then Thursday. Give them the bye and then give them a little bit of prolonged rest going into the next games. The product will be better. I don't know, you know, if you guys are actually caring about the product, that's what you have to do. Another thing you have to do, let the players celebrate. All right? Let the players have fun. One of the most entertaining things of sports is the emotion of it. The National Football League wants a bunch of clones, a bunch of robots. You know, they're more concerned with what color sock you're wearing than whether players are dying and shooting other people and killing themselves because of concussion syndromes. You know what? You look at Antonio Brown, man. The guy wants to honor Jose Fernandez. He wants to honor Kimbo Slice. you can wear the shoes. You can wear the shoes in a warm-up, but not during the game. What's the freaking difference, man? And if I'm Nike and I'm paying all this money to you jackasses for the rights to have, you know, players wear the shoes, then maybe you try to actually market the shoes. Look at the NBA. Every player has his own damn shoe. In the National Football League, you kill personality. You know, let the players wear what the hell they want and let them celebrate. You know, Billy White Shoes Johnson in the dance, man. You know what? The Lambo Leap is a part of football. I'm sure Roger Goodell cringes every time he freaking sees it. Let the players celebrate. Don't find Cam Newton when he gives a ball to a kid. Give more footballs to kids. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, we got a great show today. We're talking a lot of sports, man. We're just talking sports. It was great stuff with Dick Stockton yesterday. I really enjoyed that. I want to get Dick back and talk some NBA basketball. Word on the street is, man, Brent Musburger could be joining us. Brent Musburger. Last time I had Brent Musburger on this show, Cam Newton was still in college. It was the week that Auburn played South Carolina in the SEC Championship game, and Auburn were only 4.5-point favorites, and me and Brent Musburger had agreed. The line was too low. So hopefully we can get Brent on and talk some college football. Let's bring in a man who might have crossed paths with Mr. Brent Musburger before. Brent spends a lot of time in Las Vegas where Dave Malinsky is. Dave, it's always a pleasure. Sir, how you doing?
You know, we love media people like Brent and like yourself who unabashedly admit that they play.
Yeah, and you know, Brent was at the forefront. Al Michaels always drops the references, but Brent Musburger never really hit it, did he? He's like, no, I love going to Vegas, and I love betting on sports. Like, he's been pretty open about it.
And who doesn't love it? As more and more becomes available, more research gets done. Gosh, it's 2016, and we still have to do half the stuff underground. It just doesn't make sense.
But, you know, Dave, we've really seen a turning of the tide, haven't we? Did you ever expect a day? You know, ESPN has, like, a gambling page. You know, Dave Tooley, View from Vegas. They're talking about point spreads. CBS is selling picks, Dave. CBSSports.com is selling picks. With their sports line deal. You know, it's a newsletter, whatever. They're selling picks. It's amazing, you know, where we're at right now, yet there's still like a blindness. It's like the old days, Dave, with the point spread, Roxy's line in the paper. Entertainment purposes only. Like, yeah, I think we can drop that charade now, can't we?
I don't know. It seems like half the bets that I make these days turn out to be for entertainment purposes only.
That's what they meant all along by that, Dave. That's great. You're right. That's what they meant. They meant, no, these lines aren't to bet on. It's for your entertainment only, sucker.
It has gotten tougher and tougher to win. And as the tempo of these sports change, you know, college basketball is going to have more points scored than ever before. College football, more points scored than ever before. As games get more wide open, there is more randomness and a little more variance that gets out there. Actually helps the sharper guys, because we like to believe that the flukier it gets, the more likely we are to beat the marketplace at understanding the fluke element. But I could see for people just coming into this stuff for the first time, man, it's a heck of a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's a little overwhelming. I find it a little overwhelming as well at times. My head wants to explode. And, you know, I wonder about that, Dave. We live in this technology now, but, you know, I sort of miss the old gold sheet days and the newspaper days and the AM radio days. You know, I don't know if it was easier to win back then, but it seemed like if you really did your research, you know, you could find some angles. But now everybody knows everything now. You know, you know the weather everywhere. You know injuries instantly right now. Fantasy players that aren't even betting know every injury about, like, the third string backup tight end now. It's an interesting era that we're in. But let's take a look at Thanksgiving Day's games here, Dave. We don't often take a look at NFL games with you this early in the week, but we have some early week football this week. And I got to tell you, man, some pretty intriguing matchups going on. We got a first place showdown with the Vikings and the Lions. Lions laying 2.5, total 43. So who's not buying into the Lions here, Dave? The odds makers or the betting public? Why are they only 2.5-point favorites?
It's a little bit of each. And at the start of the season, the Vikings were perceived, and we use that word perceive a lot, they were perceived as the better team. And, of course, they are better defensively. But what Detroit was able to do in winning at Minnesota is they counter that pass rush by getting the ball out. Stafford only sacked one time in the game Detroit won up there. That's the key here. Arizona couldn't get the ball out on Sunday. Carson Palmer took a beating because of that, because Arizona likes to throw deep down the field. Detroit can neutralize that rush with a lot of short passes. That gives them the edge.
You know, these two teams are identical, Dave. It's amazing. 6-4 straight up, 6-4 against the spread, and both 4-6 to the under. They have identical betting numbers. it really is amazing how identical these two teams are. And I'll tell you, Dave, with the Packers free fall going on right now, the winner of this football game puts himself in a nice position, improving to 7-4. You mentioned that win. I was on the Lions in that game, 22-16. The only thing with the Lions, though, Dave, they are living dangerously, aren't they? Like they, you know, what is it, like 4 comeback wins in a final minute now or something?
Well, part of it is now they believe in their ability to do that. I mean, what quarterback the last 3 years leads the league in fourth quarter come behind wins? Matthew Stafford. So at a certain point, you start to believe in it. And you know, when you talk about the standings, it is so huge for Detroit because if they win, not only a one-game lead, but since they would hold the tiebreaker over the Vikings, that's essentially a two-game lead. So Detroit wins on Thursday. Boy, they've got a leg up on the division.
No, they really do. It's an interesting football game. And, you know, I did like the Vikings last week, Dave, but it was more of a play against Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals. I think that Palmer's done. Like, they're going to have to figure something out moving forward. Maybe Tony Romo ends up in Arizona. But let's be real with Minnesota last week, Dave. What they got 100, they got the pick six for a touchdown. What did they set a record? It was first time in like forever that they had 200-yard touchdowns. They had a kickoff return for a touchdown and a long pick six for a touchdown. So it's not like the Vikings offense was really clicking and all the way back either.
And it's not going to click. Yeah, you know, the personnel just aren't there. The offensive line, among the worst in the NFL. And of course, one of the issues when you're struggling in the offensive line, road games in front of a tough crowd. And what we're going to see in Detroit this Thursday, for the first time in a long time.
It's a good point.
Thanksgiving Day, a Detroit crowd.
You're right, Dave. Yeah, it's Michigan-Ohio State weekend. Detroit Lions are in first place. They're feeling good right now in the Detroit metropolitan area. And you're right. Forever, Dave. Like when was the last time the Lions played a meaningful Thanksgiving Day game? Like when Wayne Fonts was the coach?
Yeah, I mean, give Detroit a winner. You know, the Pistons, Tigers, give them a winner, and that is a good sports city. They just haven't had much reason to root for the Pistons or the Lions all that much lately.
So it sounds like a slight lean to the Lions for you here, Dave.
I think at this price, and that if Detroit guts it out and wins by 3, that's supposed to be a push. But they're going to pay you on the 3. And that's where that little edge helps.
Redskins and Cowboys, man. The Cowboys, they just keep cashing. They're like a slot machine that just keeps spitting change out, Dave. It's unbelievable. They've now won and covered 9 in a row, 9-1 against the spread. Meanwhile, the Washington Redskins, you know, playing some good football right now, Dave. You know, they're cruising along too. 6-3-1, 7-3 against the spread, 8-2. To the over. That's something that catches my eye here. And man, that I know it was against Green Bay. And Kirk Cousins, he'll throw a couple of bad passes, Dave. His accuracy is off. His footwork is bad at times. He'll do weird things at the end of a half and not spike the ball when he should. But he's also in his zone right now and finding some chemistry with his wide receivers. Pretty impressive throwing the ball down the field like that through that win the other night.
Yeah, the key that Washington is not just having quality players at receiver and tight end, but the right style. They've got guys who can get deep. They've got guys who can catch the ball over the middle. They've got good route runners. That's a nice chemistry, because it means no matter what the weakness of the other team is, you have a way to exploit it. Problem the Redskins offense is going to have on Thursday, they're going to be sitting and watching a lot. Their defense gives up 4.6 yards per rush. If you can't get the Cowboys off the field, they will just down and distance you to death. And that's what makes Dallas so tough. They don't make mistakes on offense because it's second and four. It's third and one or two. The Cowboys have stayed ahead of the chains all year, and they're probably going to stay ahead of the chains again against the Redskins.
No, you're right, Dave, and that has been their strength. And Garrett's always done this. He you know, he's always played like this. The Cowboys have always been a great road dog over the years, even when they weren't as good as they were this year, because of the ball control. And Garrett hasn't changed that philosophy right now. And we've seen it. We saw it with the Green Bay Packers. We saw it with the Steelers this year against the Cowboys, Dave, in which you're right, you just don't have, you got to score when you have the ball. And if you don't, you're putting yourself in a bad spot with them. They chew up the clock and then they score, and then you better match it quickly, or otherwise you find yourself playing from behind, and Elliott and that line are just running the ball down your throat.
And we're going to see more and more of it, because as good as Dallas has been, the Cowboys are going to get better. There's going to be more development. They can keep tweaking that playbook for Prescott. And the confidence of everybody buying in. Cowboys haven't played their best football yet. And I tell you what, people better get used to on Thursday, especially if you eat later in the day. You're going to see Elliott and Prescott as part of your Thanksgiving dinner for the next 10 years.
It might be being interviewed eating the bird after the game. Very impressive winning margin, too, for the Pokes. 28.5 points per game the Cowboys are scoring. They're only giving up 18.7. They're winning by a margin of 10 points in a National Football League that's basically unheard of. So, Dave, and the total's 50 in this football game. You know, that's the big difference here. The Redskins score 25 a game, but they give up 24 a game. Is the total too high at 50.5, though?
I mean, the teams are going to move. The offenses are going to make things happen. Your difficulty in Dallas games is nobody plays a slower tempo. And that's the issue here, is that the offensive efficiency will be high, but will Dallas set the tempo again, and you just don't get enough snaps to get into the 50s?
What do you think, Dave? I'm still alive. We got to be quick on this because I want to get to the Steeler-Colt game, but I'm still alive in a survivor pool. Giants are playing the Browns, and you got the Cowboys versus the Redskins. I haven't taken the Cowboys yet. You know, I'm always scared the Browns are going to win one of these weeks, Dave, so I'm not really picking on them in the Survivor too much.
Why not pick on them? Because the one thing the Browns have admitted to themselves, this season doesn't matter. And they've been honest and upfront about that. That takes a lot of the pressure off. Teams are taking advantage of the Browns because several of the teams they play lately needed the win. The Steelers needed that win Sunday. The Giants need this win this Sunday.
It's true. The Giants sometimes get fat after a couple of wins, but they need to keep pace. The Redskins are winning every week. The Cowboys, one of those teams, is going to be winning again this week. All right, so we got the Steelers and the Colts. It looks like Luck's going to be out. There's a few sixes popping up right now. Steelers -6. Scott Tolzien would get the call, former Wisconsin Badger. And Dave, I read your column yesterday, as always, and we encourage people to go to pregame.com to read Dave's daily column on the front page over pregame.com. You discussed the Ed Orgeron situation at LSU. They go to Texas A&M last week. I wondered last week about the number, and I like the Gators, but I didn't have the cojones to pull the trigger. Now we got LSU laying 5 on the road here. Kind of a weird spot, Dave. I'm kind of tempted by the home dog.
Yeah, I do think, though, LSU will play hard one last time for Ed Orgeron. They actually pushed Florida around pretty good Saturday, but one of those things that will happen in football every once in a while. LSU had first and goal 5 times in the game, only got 10 points. So out of a potential 35, they could only come up with 10. That's where that one swung. Difficulty for A&M in this head-to-head, they haven't beaten LSU in the careers of their seniors. LSU's a physical team. A&M has been largely a finesse team. A&M has been getting beat in the trenches in this matchup.
All right, Dave, we got to get out of here. We're getting the hook. But Oklahoma State, North Carolina tonight, college basketball, Long Beach and Washington. You know, Long Beach are 1-4, Dave, but they play Wichita State, North Carolina, Louisville, and UCLA on the road. I'm looking at this number. It might be a little high, and I think we got a track meet in store. Real quick on the way out, anything on the college hardwood late night tonight catch your eye?
Yeah, you'll love the track meet effect between Oklahoma State and North Carolina. Extreme tempo for both. Big difference, though, Carolina's going to get almost every available rebound, lots of dunks and layups. They can pull away and win in double figures.
Dave Malinsky, pregame.com, straight from the Strip in Vegas. Always a pleasure, Dave.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's a Dave Malinsky. Excellent stuff. Always enjoy talking to Dave. Very, very organized and professional today, as you can see. We move on. Eric Bachman. Might not be so professional when I talk about the Packers coming up next. Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. The show plays on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network at 5 o'clock. Replays on television at 5:30. All right, great stuff with Dave Malinsky talking some NFL football, a little college basketball on the way out there. Peter Yiannopoulos will join us, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen, now television analyst with RDS Television. He'll join us. We'll talk a little NBA basketball, a little UConn basketball. Let's talk some Green Bay Packer football and a little fantasy football as well with a man that you hear right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Networks. The Fantasy Football Hour, Saturdays at 4 p.m. FFPC's Eric Bachman joins us. Eric, it's always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
Oh, pleasure's all over here, Gabe.
So don't take this the wrong way, Eric, because, you know, I lost my hair a long time ago, but, you know, on weekends, I only shave because I'm on TV, right? Like, otherwise, I'd be like Dave Letterman is now with the big beard and stuff. But I noticed the other day, I'm like, damn, man, I'm gray, like everywhere. I'm like Anderson Cooper. Like, my bald head was gray. My stubble is gray. And I'm thinking, man, sports gambling really takes a toll on you. And now I look at you, Eric, I swear. The season started, you look like a hipster at a Pearl Jam concert. You look like Paul Ryan now. You got gray hair. You're all like, your beard's getting all gray. The Packers are killing you, bro.
It's quite the turn of events here in 2016 for you know, Packers fans and people who've invested in the Packers offense. You know, compared to what we had when Brett Favre sort of came into his own in the early 90s, the Green Bay offense has been pretty electric, pretty dynamic now for the better part of three decades. So to see them fall on their ear really this year and losing four games in a row has been rough for Packers fans in Northeast Wisconsin, for sure.
So where's the blame going on talk or radio? I hear a lot of Packers fans, they're pointing the finger. Now, Mike McCarthy's getting thrown out of the bus. I think McCarthy, it was overrated as a head coach, but at the same point in time, let's calm down before people want to fire McCarthy here, all right? Like, I'm looking at Ted Thompson. Is that where people are looking? The lack of free agent signings and the lack of success at the draft table is starting to catch up to them right now. You better be successful at the table, or you better throw some money around and bring some players in.
Yeah, I think that the three names that have always come up when we talk about coaching changes or front office changes in Green Bay has always been McCarthy, Thompson, and Dom Capers. I think that a lot of people are giving McCarthy a bit of a free pass right now because the shortcomings, as we saw against Washington on Sunday, were all on the defensive side of the football. Aaron Rodgers had a great game. The offense played pretty well. The defense was among the worst that it's been, you know, in 50-plus years in Green Bay. So I think that Dom Capers' name has come up quite a bit. And Ted Thompson's always been an easy guy to really scapegoat because he refuses to go out and sign big name free agents or really any free agents. Obviously, they got Jared Cook this year, but by and large, it's not been something that Thompson has been willing to do in his tenure in Green Bay. And now you're looking at a defense that's been depleted by injuries, and clearly the depth in the secondary and in the linebacking core is not what Ted Thompson and the Packers were hoping for. And I think that some of the blame has to fall on him, not only for the back seven, but really the running game as well. Trading for Nile Davis didn't work out. We'll see what Kristen Michael has left in the tank this year. But clearly, I think that McCarthy is not being come down upon by a lot of Packers fans because of the players that Ted Thompson has given him to work with.
So Kristen Michael has been a fantasy darling for years, Eric, and every year over and over. He's almost like he's worse than Sammy Watkins, but we'll throw Sammy Watkins into the mix as well. There's these players that we fall into the trap on a yearly basis, and people buy into this. And I swear it was a couple of weeks ago, people were loving Michael. Oh, he's going to do this and that with Seattle. Now he gets a chance. Like, there's something about this dude the coaches don't like, obviously. But it's almost by default. What does he do right now? Because the problem is the Packers are trailing by so much all the time. Doesn't matter who the freaking running back is if you're down by 21 all the time and playing catch-up.
Yeah, the Packers have been passing, well over 70% of the time when they've had the ball. And I don't think that changes with Kristen Michael. I think that what you're going to see from at least a fantasy perspective is that he makes Ty Montgomery even more meaningless in an offense that he's already sort of lost meaning in. Losing snaps to James Starks, losing snaps to Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams on the outside. And I think that this muddles things up for James Starks a little bit. I don't expect Kristen Michael to have a big impact on the game on Monday. I do expect him to get his share of snaps in the backfield, but really, if anything, I think the biggest impact that Michael has on this offense is he makes James Starks a little bit less startable as a flex right now because he can't start Michael. You really can't start Montgomery, and now you're probably going to see fantasy owners, especially in the FFPC, for the people who are alive in the league playoffs this weekend, you're going to see James Starks started in fewer leagues than what you saw him started in against Washington.
Jordy Nelson had the touchdown, but not much else. He's been inconsistent throughout the season. On a plus side, Devontae Adams has put up the numbers this year. I wish he would have done this last year, dude, when I took him, when I drafted him early. And he was one of my starting wide receivers. But Adams has come alive. You mentioned Randall Cobb. Very impressive game, man. Cobb's still balling out there. You know, this guy hasn't laid down at all. Now they get the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Eagles have really been unable to exploit anybody big time. Wentz doesn't throw the ball down the field, but you know the total is 47.5 in this football game. There's going to be points put up on the board. This is it for Green Bay. I mean, they lose again, the season's done. They're 4-7. It's over. You know, someone's going to be 7-4, Eric, between the Lions and the Vikings. They play on Thursday. How do you see this? Do we have another track meet in store? Do you think the Eagles have a big fantasy day? Because I'm just kicking myself for not just playing everybody that plays the Eagles, that plays the Packers over the last month. I mean, 30 or more points given up in the last four games.
I think this is another track meet. I really do. I think you're looking at both of these teams that have big question marks in the backfield. Green Bay, just from not having Eddie Lacy and having Starks and Michael be sort of unknowns right now, what their role is going to be. And then you look at Philadelphia. You have Ryan Matthews banged up. You have Darren Sproles banged up. Wendell Smallwood could be the guy to own there in that offense. So I think that both offenses attack through the air. I think they're both going to be very successful in this game. I don't think that Green Bay gives up, 40-plus points again. If you remember that Packers-Redskins game from Sunday night, it was 16-10 late in the third quarter. Yeah. And then for whatever reason, the defense just, lost control in that game. And I don't think that happens again on Monday night. I do think Philadelphia comes away with the victory here and all but eliminates the Packers from the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay comes out ahead because Aaron Rodgers usually does play very well when his back is up against the wall. But I think that this is a, 30-27, 31-28 type game that I think Philadelphia comes out on top.
And the Aaron Rodgers stuff, I stayed away from it. For the record, I don't watch The Bachelor, all right, Eric? So I was unaware of his douchey brother that's trying to pick chicks up under the Rodgers name on television. I like the other brother, the other quarterback kid that just plays football. He's all right. But so you got all these brothers, but he doesn't talk to his family. This, you got former Packer players. They always seem to be in a hurry to throw Aaron under the bus. He might be a prickly dude. Maybe he's not buddies with guys on the team per se. But you can't point the finger at him this year. He's doing his thing.
I think that that's been the constant from a fantasy perspective is if you have Aaron Rodgers, you've actually been pretty happy the last few weeks. The Packers they're going to lose Blake Martinez for this game Monday night. You're going to be starting two backup inside linebackers, Clay Matthews on the outside, which is clearly he's clearly not at 100%. And then again, your number 4, 5, and 6 corners out there. It's going to be bad for the Packers defense, but Aaron Rodgers has been playing pretty well in these shootouts type game, so I think you start him with full confidence. I don't like to get into the whole off the field stuff. I mean, the stuff that was quoted in that story was all unnamed sources. Jermichael Finley obviously was quoted in throwing him under the bus, but as far as the family stuff, I mean, who knows what's accurate there and who knows what's not. But you don't have to be a great guy to be a great player, and I think Rodgers clearly is that, and I think he's been a great fantasy asset. Whether he is the right guy to lead this team, you typically like your quarterbacks to be leaders, and we don't know what's going on in that locker room right now. We don't know what the relationships he has with his current teammates and his coaches there. But all that the Packers know is that they need to get this thing on track right now, because if they lose this game, they really don't have any shot at the playoffs in 2016.
If they're 7-4, we don't hear about what a jerk Aaron Rodgers is, right? They're 4-6, so what's going on there? Oh, I hear that he doesn't get along with his mother anymore, and it turns into this. Thanks for the time, Eric.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Eric Bachman with us. All right. There's a lot of reports out of the Green Bay room. He doesn't talk to anyone on the team. He doesn't hang out with anybody. That he's sort of an individual amongst them, and it's upsetting people. But you know what? The only thing that should be upsetting people is that crap-ass defense. All right, we'll take a quick break. We're going to come. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Man, we're really running the gauntlet and touching on everything today. So let's talk a little college basketball and get to some NBA games. We've got about eight and a half minutes or so with Pete Yiannopoulos, RDS Television, former assistant with the UMass Minutemen, and more. Pete, let's jump right in right now. I always thought that you worked with the UConn program in the past as well. You have any connections to UConn as well as UMass?
Not directly, but both schools being so close proximity-wise, and one of my best friends was an assistant, Patrick Sellers, with the UConn team, so been on campus many times. Coach Calhoun invited us to watch practice, so definitely one of the storied programs in basketball, but they're struggling this year, there's no question.
Yeah, I knew that you knew Coach Calhoun, that's why I brought it up. All right, so I don't want to spend too much time on them. They're playing in about an hour, actually, or about 45 minutes. I think it's a 3:30 Eastern tip-off. They're in Hawaii. They lost yesterday to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State are a decent team. I guess the plus side is you put up 90 points if you're UConn. But they lost their leading score. They're now 1-3 on the season. And that win that they got against Loyola Marymount, man, that was a game until there was 40 seconds left. That was a freaking battle, I know, because I had UConn in a parlay, Pete. So I was watching that game. They get Chaminade today. They're 17.5-point favorites. I think that's too much, man. They better beat Chaminade today. I'll tell you what. Now, Kevin Ollie obviously isn't in danger, but Kevin's going to start thinking, man, maybe I should have taken one of those NBA jobs I got offered.
No, there's no question. When you look at UConn struggle losing to Wagner, losing to Northeastern, and you look at their roster, Jalen Adams last night, 34 points, but he had 10 turnovers against the pressure that Oklahoma State brought. They got Rodney Purvis, who came transferred from North Carolina State. I mean, he's okay. Brima's still there as a senior, but the real issue here with UConn is the lack of depth and the lack of quality of McDonald's All-Americans that are not on the roster. And I mentioned earlier Calhoun, and they used to have NBA lottery picks, and that's why they yeah. won three national championships. And then Kevin Ollie took over with Kemba and Jeremy Lin, and then he won with those guys as well. Here's the issue. And Billy Donovan told me this years ago. I mean, he used to recruit a couple of my players when I coached in high school and prep. He said, Pete, at our level, you need to have an NBA lottery pick in every class in order to be competitive to win a national championship. That's just how it goes. And if you look, Kentucky has that. Duke has that. Those are why those teams are always in contention. UConn does not have that. There's no studs. There's no lottery picks on that roster. And they've been struggling the last couple of years. So until Rodney, Kevin Ollie, and his staff start bringing in those McDonald's All-Americans on a consistent basis, you're going to see these losses, and you're going to see a start of 1-3 season.
All right, Pete, so we got the Bulls and the Nuggets on the board tonight in Oklahoma City and the Lakers. This Bulls team's coming together, man. There was a lot of expectations when Hoiberg came over from Iowa State. He wanted to push the pace last year. Couldn't do it, man. You know, you got Noah, you got Derrick Rose, fresh blood coming in here, fresh old blood coming in with Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade's been a perfect teammate for everybody there. He shoots, he doesn't bitch, he scores when he has to. But I was reading an interview with Jimmy Butler, and he was talking about how much better Wade has made him. Just being around Dwayne Wade every day, and Wade giving him little tips. Like, Wade's like, you're the man. Like, go do it. Take over. And he's mentoring him, and it's really helping him. You get the Nuggets. The Nuggets, Jamal Murray goes off for 18 the other night. Chandler's playing great basketball. They got Will Barton back, one of my favorites, Will Baby Barton. I'm a big Barton fan. Nuggets, it's a fun game tonight, but I like the Bulls.
Well, here's a dangerous game if you're the Bulls. They've been on the road for a couple of days. They have the big win against the Clippers, taking care of business against the Lakers without Dwayne Wade. He'll be a little bit more fresh tonight, but Denver's a tough team to play against at home with the altitude. You mentioned Barton, University of Memphis. He's really stepped up his game. I love the way Chandler is playing after he didn't play last year. Jamal Murray's playing better. They got Jokic, Nurkic inside, Moody Eye, Jameer Nelson. I mean, Gallinari is a guy that I love as well. They're finding themselves out with Coach Malone. They're a dangerous team at home. They won't make the playoffs in the West, but if they're setting up that platform where they're learning how to play a certain style, they're going to push the pace and play up-tempo. Fareed starting to get back into the starting lineup. He's been a little bit of a disappointment, but I think when you look at the Bulls, I mean, D-Wade, that championship pedigree is so valuable, especially to a young player like Jimmy Butler. Butler is a guy who could take over, and it's the perfect complement when you bring in a guy, Gabe, in Rajon Rondo. Unselfish, facilitator, distributor. I've loved this guy ever since he was with the Celtics. A little bit tougher to coach to handle if you're head coach with him, but if you get him on your side, he's going to let Butler, Wade get their points. You got Mirotić, that was awesome, 15-15 last game. Taj Gibson, underrated Robin Lopez in the middle. McDermott can get you buckets from the outside. If they stay healthy, this Bulls team could be a top two, top three team in the Eastern Conference. So I'm interested to see the matchup tonight. But hey, Hoiberg's got them playing good basketball, efficient basketball, without Nolan Rose.
Yeah, their second unit comes in too. Bobby Portis can drain a three. You're working in Denzel, the Valentine kid from Michigan State. He's playing with energy. It's a nice team. The energy factor's there. They like play for Hoiberg, like you said. They're buying in right now. We got Oklahoma City and the Lakers. We talked about the Lakers last time. You know, reality's catching up to them a little bit right now. They're getting a little bit worn out. You know, they still have to build this roster. They're not built to play defense, and it's evident, man. They're giving up 109 points a game right now. Oklahoma City have been struggling as of late, but, you know, I've been betting a lot on the Lakers. I think Oklahoma City show up tonight. I think Westbrook goes off. He's a little frustrated right now. I think it's a good spot for the Thunder tonight.
Yeah,
and not to mention, D'Angelo Russell's hurt, too.
Yeah, I'd echo those sentiments when you look at a tough home loss in overtime to Indiana. Westbrook said, I wasn't good enough. We all weren't good enough. And, again, hot starts for them. They've lost five of their seven. But when you look at the body of work, Oladipo is coming into his own playing with Westbrook. They need guys to step up and be more consistent. I think Cantor's delivering. Sabonis is playing well as a rookie. But I think Steven Adams needs to be utilized and leveraged a lot more than he is. He's a guy that could just score on the block. Great hands. Could finish around the rim with ferocity, with authority. Get him the ball a little bit more. I think Westbrook, again, I mean, what he's averaging is just 6, 31, 10, and 10. I mean, it's Oscar Robertson in 2016. I mean, nobody's ever averaged a triple-double since him. He's outstanding. He's got to be a little bit more patient, consolidate a little bit more of his teammates. But when you look at the Lakers, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, when Lou Williams and Nick Young are your two most consistent players, that spells trouble, brother. Again, they're NBA guys, and they're playing in a Walton system where it's free-flowing. Jordan Clarkson is struggling. I mean, Brandon Ingram, you know, it shows he should be still be in college, but we know they can't say no to that money. But you mentioned, I mean, they're 27th in NBA defense, giving up close to 110 points a game. I mean, yeah, you could score, and you got the Lakers fans buzzing a little bit, but if you're not going to defend, you're going to be exposed, and this is what's starting to happen. I think Oklahoma, OKC is the team to go with tonight.
Pete, Annapolis, RDS Television. Thanks for the time, Pete.
Always a pleasure.
We'll come back with our plays of the day. I think we turned a corner yesterday. Let's do this thing. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We had a good night last night, but it doesn't mean jack unless we do it again this evening. We've got to win a couple of days in a row, man, to get back on track for my well-being and for those of you that actually tail my picks well-being. But thanks for the kind words. I woke up this morning to a lot of, instead of screw you, Morenci, a lot of, hey, Morenci, thanks for the picks last night. Great job. So we appreciate it. Let's start off tonight with some college football. I'm going to be honest here, man. I don't think I've won a damn Mac bet in like 2 months or something like that. I used to own the Mac, all right? I got a good feeling about tonight. I'm not forcing anything. You know, this is kind of a wuss type play here, money line parlay, but I'll tell you what. We got Miami, Ohio, and Miami, Ohio. It's kind of confusing. The Ohio Bobcats, they just need the win tonight against Akron. They clinch the division. They're playing in the championship game. Miami, Ohio need the win to go to a bowl game. They're both going to get it done. Give me Central Michigan plus one against Eastern Michigan. If Central Michigan doesn't win, it's going to be a damn close game, and there should be points put up on the board. I check out the weather in Ypsilanti, Michigan tonight, and there's no wind. All right, so there should be points put up on the board. Let's tease Central Michigan to the over. Chicago Bulls. This is a tricky play, man. The Nuggets are a good home team. Either way, it's going to be a track meet, but we're going to take a shot with the Chicago Bulls. I think they're better than the Nuggets, and we're going to go over the number in that game. Oklahoma City Thunder. They've been struggling for the last couple of weeks. They get back on track tonight. Westbrook from Los Angeles, always lights it up when he goes back. I like the Thunder tonight. We'll lay the three against the Lakers. It's going to be a track meet. Lakers giving up over 109 points a game. All right, a little college basketball. I think this game's at like 6 o'clock or 6:30 or something like that. Notre Dame, minus 3.5. Northwestern, Notre Dame, over 143. Long Beach, Washington, over 167 in a bonus pick. Tar Heels over the number.